No reverb. Yay.
Good.
Couple of things before we get going. I was looking for the name of the technology team. Did I mention that to you before?
No.
All right. I want you to hire, you got a technology group that, that has been really doing well. And I don't have the exact name for them, but basically they come in and help you with your internet capabilities.
So okay.
They help you with your website. They help you with your internet marketing. They go through LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, whatever else. And then they help upgrade the quality of your website. And they help you with marketing. And I'm getting rave reviews about these guys.
Okay.
By the way, the picture is really crisp on your phone. I mean, it's really sharp.
Well,
you know, you must have a good phone.
I have the iPhone Plus, but yeah. I'm also in a room that's all windows.
Yeah, but it's still the, you know how it looks almost HD?
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. So anyway, the two good things. Look, the guy that's running it is supposed to be terrific. He's grown it from 6 guys to 60 guys. Hmm. And the quality of the client experience is being maintained consistently. And it costs money. It costs like $2,500 a year to maintain it, which I love. You know why? Because they will be a profit center, or at least pay for themselves, instead of being a cost center, which as soon as things turn to shit, they'll eliminate, right?
So this is actually a Morgan Stanley group?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because, I mean, I can build that into a budget for next year, too.
Yeah.
As far as the cost to use it and pay for
right.
it, because I'm sure AFG could be used.
Right, pre-tax, right. That's your AFG is your pre-tax account, right?
Yep, correct.
Yeah. So, yes, definitely a winner. And the advantage is that you know, you haven't been spending money on anything else. There haven't been any seminars or any. So that AFG account is probably still available to you. I don't know if you spend it or not. But probably spend.
Yeah, I'm spending. I mean, I'm just using it on meals. You know, I'm just I've been having meals and meetings with clients and just writing off the meals, whereas normally I didn't do that. But.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
Good. The other thing is use of the digital vault. Do you use the digital vault?
I know it. I have not used it, but that's a good reference.
Yeah. A lot of guys are using it where, you know, the teams are split and they can't, you know, the use of the folders becomes more challenging. The
yeah.
digital vault allows you to all talk, see the same things you know, that's an internal tool, but it's one that seems to be working for other teams. Because people are always asking me, what's working, right? What's working? What are other people doing? Well, these are two things that other people in your firm are doing and seem to be working pretty well.
Okay.
Okay. So I just thought we'd start with that. All right. Anyway, before I get going too much, what's on your mind this week?
So I was watching the video this week and I was curious about the personal development stuff that you were talking about. I mean, it's interesting because we were talking about that last week and I guess I was curious to know your thoughts around Jennifer and how best to work approaching her, because she's definitely, she's a good assistant. I mean, I think she's one of the top most efficient assistants in the office, but she's overworked, and because she's got responsibilities to two other advisors. Now, one of those advisors is coming off at the beginning of September, which is great. But her mind is all over the place. I mean, she's had a couple mistakes recently as far as setting up like SMA accounts and using the wrong managers when the notes were correct. And, you know, to part of her defense, I mean, her father's just went into a nursing home. And so there's some issues going on there and her family. So personal life is a lot more challenging for her. But was curious to hear your thoughts on ways to approach, some personal development with her, because I think it's something that she wants to do, but I think she's very stuck right now. She's got a lot going on. I mean, she's had a surgery. She's just had a bunch of dental work done. I mean, she's got, you name it. I mean, there's stuff going on that's overwhelming her life for sure.
Does she have kids?
She has a daughter. Her daughter is, you know, 25, 26. So she's no longer in the house. She's fully employed. And
okay. What do you have for a backup?
Unfortunately, the backup that I got is a new guy that just took over for the most senior CSA in the office who just retired. So the backup is leaves something to be desired for sure.
What is the backup getting for training?
Right now, I'm not sure. I've only seen him in the office twice. I mean, most of the people, I mean, there's 40 people in my office, and literally right now, today, there's only 6 people here.
Right.
And most people don't like coming back.
Okay, so where are you now in your production right now, annualized production?
So my production right now, I'm up 10% from last year to this year. So right now, my year-to-date production is around 560. So last year at this time I was at 490.
Okay, good. And where will you end the year, do you think?
My goal is to go over 800. I mean, my goal is to hit 70 grand a month for the next 4 months. So September, October, November, December. I want to end the year at my goal is so that getting that done, I should be able to end the year somewhere around the 800,000.
Where do you need to go to get one-on-one?
My first big milestone is 805,000, so I actually need to be 805 by year end. And you're saying one-on-one, meaning one-on-one
with Jennifer. What's the 805 do for you?
Well, that was a team bogey that I needed to hit for Morgan Stanley to get an increase in my AFG and some of the other perks of being on the team. So I need to hit 805 trailing. So I got to hit 805 by the end of the year to get to that number. So I'll be. My goal is that's where I'm gonna end the year. So I have monthly projects that in addition to to bring in production, which worked. I mean, I had a really good last month. I did 20 grand above my trail just in new business using a direct lending fund and getting it out to clients. So that was really good.
Right. So these 24-month calendar things are working for you.
Mm-hmm.
Focuses, yeah. Sweet. So what do you think one-on-one would take? Would it be a
million?
Well,
the guy that's in front of me. Yeah, well, the guy that's in that I share her with, that is going to be just the two of us. He's did 1.2, so he's
ahead of you.
Right. He's ahead of me. I gotta ramp it up.
So, do they tell you what it takes to get one-on-one, or are you?
I mean, it's 1.5 million. I think is where you need to be. Okay. To get one-on-one. I mean, we're at a staff shortage.
Yep.
So, you know, they just hired somebody. And so I'm not sure that I'm going to be seeing a one-on-one anytime soon.
Okay. But, so here's what you got to work out with your manager. Okay. People pay more money for Salesforce than they do Duke Power. Okay. Meaning, they pay more money for the revenues from Salesforce than they do the revenues from Duke Power. Why? Why does it have a bigger PE?
They're more profitable. They're growing at a faster rate.
So they pay more for growth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your firm at this point doesn't understand that. Yet we're a money manager.
Right.
Okay, so this is a conversation you need to have.
Okay.
Why do you pay the same, why do you have the same PE for a utility that you do for a growth company, a technology company? You're not leading your fastest growing FAs. I put more money into fast growing FAs than I did slow growing FAs. Hmm. So the 1.5 is irrelevant. It should be you pay for growth. Okay?
Okay. I hear you.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
If you were a manager, it was a portfolio, you wouldn't put the same money into a utility that you would into a fast growing company. If you're a bank, you wouldn't lend at the same rate to a, you know, if you're smart, you don't invest equally. You're willing to pay more for Salesforce than you are for Duke Power.
Right.
Okay. So basically, they should be willing to pay more for a guy that's doubling his business on a regular basis than a guy that's close to retirement.
Right. I agree.
All right. So what you have to do is sell that concept. And you've got to get in writing an agreement.
Okay.
When I hit this number, I get one-on-one, because the one-on-one will allow you to grow faster.
Right.
Right? It's an accelerator. Yep. I used to go to an asset get. We had something called the Masters at Merrill Lynch, and every year we'd go to Europe. I mean, if you won, you went to Europe, right? You went to some beautiful place in Europe. And every year, this guy from South Carolina who was an Air Force pilot flying F-16s would ask for time with me, because he knew, you know, I had been around, and I'd grown a lot of, I had the most FAs at this conference every year because my guys were growing faster than other people. So he would say, look, you know, my manager is great, but he doesn't get it. I need some time with you. And he'd say to me, okay, this is what I did. You know, I did 800,000. What should I do? I'd say, tell me about your team. and he'd say, you know, I'm sharing my CA with somebody else. I'd say, get one-on-one, whatever it takes. If you have to pay for it yourself, get one-on-one. The next year he'd come back and he'd say, okay, I grew from 800,000 to 1.2 million. What do? I said, hire another sales assistant.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So now he had two. And then he'd come back and he'd go, okay, I've ramped up to 3 million. What do? I said, hire another one. Okay. In those days, more was better. Okay. We had, because we were just bringing in more accounts, right? So we needed leverage. So that was the best I could do. Today, I'd say, give your accounts away. Okay. So your sales assistant isn't overwhelmed, and raise your minimum.
Right. That's what we talked about at the beginning of this. Correct.
Correct. So you got to raise your minimum and keep 70 clients and just keep raising your minimum and keep prospecting like hell and raising your minimum. And you can give them to a partner. You can give them to a friend. You can, but your point is that you've got to raise your minimum in order to grow. And so you've got to grow in order to grow. You got to get out of the swamp.
Right.
You got to get away from the rest of the guys and have your own team or your own leverage.
Yep.
If you're stuck, everybody that I talk to in your office would all have the same excuse. They'd all say, yeah, I've got a problem because I'm with another person and I don't get enough time with her and da, 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 da. And they tell me we can't do anything about it. I go, that's just not true. Okay. If they hired you from the competition today and you're doing 800,000, they'd probably give you one-on-one to start.
Yeah. I'd be curious about finding another FA to work with me and see what, I mean, they're always looking to hire people, but you know, it's finding good FAs is like finding a needle in a haystack. So it's,
well, if you had another FA that was doing Supernova, trust me, they're not as much work. You think it's a lot of work to run a Supernova practice? No. I've had one CA who ran 5 Supernova practices and she said it's a piece of cake. I just scheduled the appointments and boom, boom, boom. It's easy because there's no interruptions. The interruptions are what kill your CA. It's all the bullshit. It's all the little accounts. It kills them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not scheduling appointments that they can do. They can do that very efficiently and very effectively, especially if you train your clients and they get used to the first Tuesday of the month at 4 o'clock for the rest of the year. It's just done.
Right.
Right. And you just send an email and they confirm it and they're there. You don't have all this crap. I mean, how hard is that? Right.
Right.
Even if you're sending agendas and executive summaries, the agendas aren't that complicated for most clients if you've done a financial plan.
Yep.
Most people really don't want to grow. Right? They don't want the confrontation. And they don't want to deal with the issues. Right.
They just, and
they just accept their situation. Now, your manager, it desperately wants to grow the office. He desperately wants to hire guys from the competition. He desperately wants you to grow, but he doesn't think he has the ability to help you. You've got to show him overwhelmingly why it makes sense to help you.
Right.
And if he can't or won't, then you've got to convince him to allow you to hire somebody so you can be one-on-one.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's getting the production to that level too.
You gotta, right.
Yeah.
I just read On my news feed on Google, up came the name Raj Bhatia. And I go, oh, wow, Raj, the first guy I ever hired at Merrill Lynch. When I was in Chicago, I was a sales, it was my first office. He was the first Asian ever to be hired, first Indian. And he's got 1.6 billion in assets now. I think he's doing over 10 million and has 60 clients and has a nice team. And I think the average, it's somewhere between 50 million and 160 million average.
Wow.
Okay. That was That's a guy. Amazing. My first hire, right? So I know how to build guys into big producers. My goal when I took over my office in Indianapolis was to have five guys doing 5 million. That was, I took over in 1985, and that was my goal. And guess what? I did it. Indianapolis, this isn't freaking New York City or Chicago. This is Indianapolis. So very doable, very doable. And today they're doing crazy numbers, right? 18 million and yeah, it's, you know, I read about Rod Westmoreland. I brought him in as a speaker numerous times from the Southeast. And he was one of our, and he's the top producer in the Southeast now. And I don't know how much he's doing, 20 million, 18 million. So,
wow.
Mike, that's what we did. We grew. We grew players, right? Great players. And that's what you do. You make up your mind. You're going to do. Okay. So I got, okay. I'm going to do 800,000. Next year, I'm going to do 1.2. The following year, I'm going to do 1.6. Then I'm going to do 2. And then I'm going to do 2.4. And then I'm going to do 3.
Yep. I hear you.
And then you say, okay, hey, if I'm going to be here, I might as well get big, right? Why be here if I'm not going to get big? I mean, if somebody else can do it, I can do it. Why not? It's just a matter of process and ambition and focus and writing the numbers down and making them part of what you believe in. So you just say, okay, an investment of 70,000 bucks next year for an assistant will get me to 1.2 million. Is that worth it? So yeah, it's worth it, right?
Yep.
If you're running your own business, that's what you do. Why not? You'd say, okay.
It's amazing. I mean, it all comes down to thinking bigger.
Yeah.
Because I can get like, you know, what you're, I don't know. I have gotten into a crazy funk. Like my first 10 years in the business, I was growing, you know, I went from, you know, 300,000 to 700,000 to 800. I mean, I was hitting every club and doing everything. And then I hit 2008 and I had just an interest, you know, I brought in my biggest account ever, along with the help of a team up in Greenwich, the team that I told you about that I work with up there.
Right.
So that's a $75 million relationship. And after that, I went through my divorce and I lost my bloodthirsty hunger that I had to get to where I was. And that's, I'm not trying to make an excuse because it all comes down to mindsets. I mean, this goes back so for me, it's getting this mindset opened back up and re-engaging because it's great to think about making lots of money and it's great to think about it in that aspect. There are so many pieces to this that seem overwhelming to me because of what I need to do to get to where from here to here. And you've done a great job of outlining it without a question of a doubt. And just in the past couple months, I've realized that I could keep flying by the seat of my pants like I've been doing, or I could actually start to formulate pieces that make sense. So what you've shown me has brought that into the forefront at a much bigger level for me than what I have had in the past. So that's been.
You just lost your mojo.
It's crazy. Well, you know, I mean, it's crazy to say that, but that's the truth. And part of this whole piece that I'm bringing into the equation about what I was telling you about the whole meditation thing and the peace, you know, finding, I don't want to be like, my goal is I don't want to be running 90 miles an hour all the time.
No.
to get to where I'm going. And part of that is slowing my mind out. And, you know, 'cause your mind can start to play tricks on you. You know, you lose your mojo and then it's like, you can easily forget that you never really had it. Right.
Right.
And
it's right. You can say I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm
right.
not
everything. All that shit.
Right.
But when you start to slow down your mind and that's this piece that's coming into play in the midst of all this is me slowing that process down to not work like an animal, but work smarter. And
do it for all the fun reasons. Nobody does this for the money. Okay. You can't be doing it for the money. The money is never going to make it. The money's fun. The money's great. The money is amazing. It's good to give it away, to do things. But the money gives you freedom and gives you lifestyle and gives you the ability to impact the world if you want to and change the world. So what you have to do is you have to take that little man over here. When you say slowing down your mind, what you're really, I think, saying is you've got to, this little guy here who's talking to you all the time mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. why you can't do shit.
Right.
You got to kick him out.
Yep.
Okay. We used to say, let it go. Let it go. Get rid of all those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts, those I can't do it because thoughts.
Yep.
It's like if you play golf and all you see is out of bounds, traps, and garbage when you're about to hit the ball, you're going to hit it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stand on the green and look back at the fairway, you think, my God, there's nothing but fairway here. How could I not have gotten a par on this hole? It's impossible. It's the simplest hole I've ever seen. But all I saw from the tee was bunkers, out of bounds, water.
Right.
See? And so what you have to train your mind to do is to see green fairway all the time. Nothing but green. Nothing but opportunity.
I like it.
If it's a kind of a fun expression. If everybody said yes to you, what would you ask for?
It sounds like Brian Tracy's, if you knew you could not fail, what would you dare to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we talked about another sales assistant, what came to your mind was bunkers, out of bounds, you know, water, all the things, all the reasons you couldn't get it. Not the reasons why it's gonna happen. It's just a question of when.
Yep.
It's all green. Not the first sales assistant, the second sales assistant. We're already thinking about the second sales assistant.
Right.
What am I going to do with the second sales assistant? How can I leverage my practice? What else do I need to have a great practice?
So that brings into question another thing too. Like now that I'm sharing an assistant, I mean, what is like, in my mind, I try to figure out what is the best way to budget her time. Cause if I keep paying her, but I'm not really feeling the value coming from her.
You talk to her about your plan. You got to create a vision for the future. And she sure as heck would rather be one-on-one than have two people.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk to her about what life is going to be like when you're one-on-one. And if you coach her and spend time with her, she will give you more time and she will treat you differently. What you really are is in competition for her time.
I totally am. And I don't know how to even gauge it. I mean, it's good that now this third advisor is getting off of her. So then it's just the two of us. So that actually is really going to help out a lot.
Your competition, your associate is not talking to her monthly about her life and herself and what's important to her.
Right.
You're going to make up a folder for her and you're going to talk to her once a month and give her 45 minutes. You're going to help her set goals and solve issues, and they could be about her family. You don't care. Helping her doesn't mean helping her just in the office. Helping her means helping her.
Right.
Making her life better.
Okay.
And she's got nobody to talk to that cares about her. I mean, truth. They never do. Nobody does.
Yeah.
And you will. And therefore, she will help you. She'll give you more time.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good advice.
And the other thing is you gotta do a 12-4-2 with your manager. Because nobody cares about him. Everybody's fighting with him all the time. And you gotta help him.
So what do you mean by that? Meaning I should talk to him once a month?
Absolutely. He's your banker. He's your center of influence. He can send you introductions. Who better in the community to send you introductions than your manager?
Okay.
Who?
Right.
Who's a better center of influence?
Right.
He meets people, right? If he's doing his job, he's out in the community. He's on boards.
Yes.
He's meeting people. Right? And they say, yep. Hey, who should I use?
Yep.
So you basically have a conversation. You never intimidate him. You never make him feel bad about himself. You're always supportive, helping, coaching him, helping him, guiding him. And you think, he's supposed to be doing that for me. No, he doesn't have anybody to talk to. Okay. It's a terrible job. It's a lonely job unless you're good at it. And then it's a great job. But most guys aren't good at it and they have no clue what they're doing.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, one of the things I did as a manager was line up my fastest growing FAs with my best CAs and found out where they were. Right? So why wouldn't I have my fastest growing FAs with my best CAs? So I take this one and plug them in there.
Yep.
I didn't need to give him two. I just need to give him a really good one.
Right.
Right? So you may not need one-on-one if you had a superstar.
Right.
He's probably never thought about that. It's too politically incorrect, right? You're going to piss off too many people. I never did it by What I would do is I would look at it and I'd say, this gal needs to be with this team. Now, when this guy left or retired, I would then do that. You see? Mm-hmm. So it was like a 5-year plan to have this all lined up perfectly.
Yep. Okay.
So you do it through attrition. That's a really good idea for him. Okay. And you can give him that idea.
Okay.
See what I mean? Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you 100%. And I think Tim does look at that. I definitely think he does, because he's made some pretty, he's new. So he's come in here and he's pissed off a lot of people with making a lot of changes and decisions that weren't popular, but were necessary for his view of how he wanted to grow.
Right.
And doing the supernova with the office and I guess probably the complex was another piece to the equation that he's hoping pays off in big things. And, you know, he definitely kept me locked in with Jen. I mean, you know, Ron, the senior guy, could probably, he may try to press at some point to get the system we share as his own, but I have to be fair of how I balance out my time with her time.
But the other thing is, the other thing is, if that happens, then you go with one-on-one with somebody else.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So you just have to have your eye out as to who would be the next CA that you would grab at your firm or somebody else's firm.
Right.
So look, you're a good guy with a good attitude and you want to grow, and you're so much more fun to coach than some of the other people I'm coaching.
Good. That's
so
good.
For Tim, it would be the same thing. He wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll reach out to him. I appreciate what you're saying there, because he has always been helpful to me in that aspect. And so, yeah, that's fair. I'll reach out to him.
And if you did, you know, it's just like with clients. If you set up 12-4-2 with him, you're probably only going to get 8 of those in during the year.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're going to be on vacation. He's going to be on vacation. He's going to be gone. He's at a conference. So you're probably not going to get to talk to him every month or spend time with him every month, but you schedule it.
Yep.
You do your best. But he's a source. He's a resource guy. Plus, he's got good ideas. Plus, he's reactionary at this point. He reacts to whatever's happening. It's okay for him to have a few good FAs scheduled in there. Okay, and you're one of the good FAs. And you just got your mojo back.
I did. Well, it's all mindset. It's all totally mindset. And it all comes down to you know, what you're saying, but also, you know, the books I've been reading and these, you know, little classes that I've been taking. I mean, I do a lot of self-help work, if you will.
Sure.
You know, outside of here, a lot of stuff that's based on, you know, go in, not out. You know, it's your validations of life need to come within. And so it's about it. There's a whole other aspect to this that is about the own self-worth. And, you know, where this is an interesting business for that, because you have so many type A ego personalities that are in this business, but to the degree that they've really checked in with themselves, I don't think most of them can take a look that deeply into themselves. Honestly, as far as they're driven to succeed and make a lot of money, but the deeper level work within is the one that's the hardest. You know, it's easy. Right. And this is my assessment of looking at a lot of the people that are in the office, and it's the mental battle.
Buddhism is fascinating that way. I mean, the game is to not be a victim of the outside world. And
right.
with Buddhism, you're not, the Buddha said to not be should not seek recognition from others. If you're not subject to recognition from others, then you will not be subject to the lack of recognition. That your self-worth comes from yourself.
Right.
Not from others. Their opinion of you is based on false premises.
Right, of course. And that's, it's, yeah. And that outward validation is the piece that is, everybody's trying to just cut through that bullshit and say, so I'm doing this class. I know we're almost out of time, but I'm taking this class right now. And basically the class is, we're at the point in the class where it's saying, what would you, if you were, it's called Reclaim Your Inner Throne. So it's the archetypes of the king, the warrior, the lover, and the magician. So these are the archetypes that men have. And there's a whole book that's written about it by how we were raised by our mothers and our fathers and the role models that affected our lives from an early age and what we used as those influences to how we are. And so we're through the course peeling back these layers to recognize how we act in the world is based upon influences that came to us as a child because of how our mom was or how our dad was or how, you know, and so as we're going through this, we're at the point where it's like, okay, what would you look like if your crown, how would you be in life if your crown was completely on, meaning you're exactly the way that you want to live and be in your life? What would it look like? And that's this piece that I'm creating now. And it's the law of attraction basically says that as you create this piece and you vibrate at that level, it takes you there almost automatically like a magnet.
Right.
It's a hard concept.
It's referred to as enlightenment.
Yeah.
You're fully enlightened. The fully enlightened person is actually one that is completely other-centered.
Well, this is where I'm at. I'm at this crossroads.
Getting out of your ego and getting into being completely other-centered. So when you're other-centered and someone gives you recognition, you accept it joyfully because it makes them happy.
That's cool. It's a cool thought.
You don't accept it for yourself. You accept it for them.
Right.
Right? If you won or lost, it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you win, you accept the trophy, not because it satisfies your ego, but because it makes the other person happy.
Right.
Right? So what you're working for is to make Tim happy. Right? You're bringing You're bringing joy to others constantly.
Yep.
So what brings joy to your sales assistant?
Oh, I mean, as soon as she's out of here, I mean, sure, she spends her time on her boat, relaxing, you know, having her cocktails, just kind of taking in the world and being at peace. Then when she gets here, then it's like her anxiety levels go through the roof. It's quite.
So if she had less clients, her joy would be easier. Your life would be better.
Yep.
So you got to convince your partner over there to get rid of his small accounts, therefore creating more time for both of you.
Yep. Yeah, well, it's interesting. He was asked about doing Supernova, and he doesn't want to give up any of his accounts.
He's killing his assistant and therefore killing himself. It's suicide. It's like me not wanting to give away my trophies from my childhood.
Yeah.
Why? Because of my ego, right? Mm-hmm. When I give those away, I'm free of my ego. Man's search for meaning is a constant search for an egoless self.
Mm.
Slaying the dragon at the end of every traditional story is coming to grips with one's own ego. And slaying the dragon is your ego.
Yep, I agree. I agree.
It's totally hard. Knowing it and doing it are really different. The closer you can come and remembering what your mission and vision is of your pure self, the better you'll do and the happier you'll be.
Yep. I mean, I think that's the point of this exercise this guy's talking about.
When you ask, I had a life coach and she said, when I ask people what brings them joy, most executives can't answer it. How sad is that? I can go on for hours. What brings
me? And that's what I was saying about this whole concept of they can't look at themselves, right? That because what brings joy means that you have to look within in a way that you may not be ready to do. So that's the whole aspect to this that is which has sparked me to re-engage and grow and get going again.
And you as your most joyful self will be a magnet to others. People are drawn to confidence and happiness.
Yep.
They want to be with people that are confident and happy. They want some of that juice. And so but you bring them joy. You bring yourself joy by bringing them joy.
Yep.
Don't think about making it. It is the selfless thing to do to bring other people joy, but it becomes very self-centered in doing it. It's a constant cycle. Are you bringing others joy because it makes you so joyful? Therefore, you're completely self-centered.
Crazy.
Go with that to your meeting and ask them. Are you being the most self-centered person in the world by being the most joyful and help?
Yeah, that's good. I'm writing it down. It's not giving a crap about anybody else's views anymore. Not in an obnoxious way, but in a, you can't bring me down by your negativity towards me if that's there. It's a,
and being others focused. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't got it solved. But I work on it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I do. I do. I've spent so much time on this. It's been fabulous, you know. It's the self-realization part of your life. Well, in your early years up to 40, you spend most of your time figuring out who you are, satisfying your ego and gathering things. And by the time, say 50 on, you start to think, what is life about? And if you're fortunate enough, you do some self-realization and you start to spend the rest of your life helping others and giving things away so that you can help others and make their lives better. And that's where the joy of life comes. It's too bad it has to take till you're 50 to do it. Anyway, we digress.
I hear you. I hear you. No, I hear you. It's good. I mean, I've written a lot down today, so thank you.
Good, Rick. Okay. Hope we got fired up, got your mojo back, and we can all for the right reasons.
Yep, absolutely. I can't make next Wednesday's call. I sent a message.
Sure.
But I didn't hear back from Rob. Is it Robin that?
Lori and Cindy.
Yeah. Lori Payne. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll see you the following then.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that might be our last like weekly call, and then we go to monthly.
So monthly.
Starting
out. We'll talk about that and what we want to do in terms of building it'll coincide with our conversation today because we want to build a business plan.
And so that's good.
getting it concrete.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Have a great week.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.